Sometimes you hear a conversation and it doesn't make sense. Even though it's in English, you cannot make head nor tail of it. As a teenager, I once sat in a local pub in my hometown and heard two older men chatting, and I eavesdropped. And the conversation went something like this. Egon on. Egon on. Alas, we ears up. Come Sunday, killed. What a carry on. Always was a dark horse. And I sat there thinking, I should understand this. It is in English. These men live in the same town as me. But really, it was only 5 minutes later, as I kept listening, when they started telling people about the funeral, that I realized someone had died. Now, you may have a similar problem with the conversation in today's Bible passage. If you've still got it there, or if you want to turn to it, it would be helpful to do so. It's in the New Testament section of the Church Bibles. There should be one pretty near you. Page 43, page numbers at the bottom of the page. And it's part of the series. We've been going through these middle chapters of Mark, and we've reached Mark chapter 7, verse 24. The little numbers in amongst the sentences are the verse numbers. And it's the top of the second column on page 43. And in there, in that little paragraph, there is a conversation. Can you see verse 27? He said to the woman, Jesus, let the children be fed first, for it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. But she answered him, sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he said to her, for saying that you may go, the demon has left your daughter. What is it about? This conversation is one of those conversations that seems to be a bit of a mystery. Now, if you were reading this passage at home, doing your Bible reading in the morning or in the evening or at lunchtime, you'd have two options, I think. Option one. Maybe you believe the Bible is meant to be like that, stuff which doesn't make sense. And you might think that's how God prefers it, confusing, mysterious. I'm meant to not know what's going on, you say, and so you leave it there and move on. And there is a second option. Maybe you believe that the Bible has a clear message to give because God is keen that people hear and understand. And the writers of the books of the Bible share the Lord's concern that people get it clearly. Now let's go with the second option and see. Let's look at the context of this conversation for clues on what it means. And if we look at the context and ask some plain questions, maybe we can see some clear meaning. Now, the context starts in verse 24. Where Jake started reading. And it says this, from there Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there, yet he could not escape notice. And a woman, whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. So there's the first bit of context, close context. Jesus has gone away to the region of Tyre. Where's Tyre? If you look at a map of the Middle East, it's there. It's quite a big blob because it's a large port city in Lebanon. So Jesus has gone from Galilee in Israel to a foreign place, and he's gone closer to the coast. Why? Well, we're told he's gone to a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. So it looks as though he's gone for a quiet weekend away near the seaside. It makes sense. Jesus is trying to get away from it all, isn't he? He's been so busy in recent weeks and months. Large crowds have been following him, demanding his attention, his healing and deliverance ministry, wanting to hear what he has to say. And already in chapter 6, for those of us who've been here in previous weeks in the series from Mark's Gospel, already we've seen Jesus try to escape from the crowds to the other side of the lake. But the crowds followed him, thousands of them. So he's feeling crowded out by the people. And he's also being investigated by the religious authorities. So it's hard work, high pressure, and he needs a break. A weekend of sleep, quiet, relaxation, to think and pray and make new plans. Now, if you're in a busy job with long hours, demanding people, difficult dilemmas, great responsibility, you might know how valuable it can be to have a completely free day. Have a lie-in, a leisurely breakfast, and the rest of the day ahead, and nothing at all to interrupt you. So there we are. There's Jesus in his pajamas, sipping his orange juice. And then this woman turns up, a desperate woman whose young daughter was badly affected by an evil spirit of some sort. Now, here's another aspect of the context. An unclean spirit. I don't know what you think of such descriptions, but Jesus did speak of demons, evil spirits who influence badly the lives of individuals and whose presence is damaging, requiring a prayer with God's authority and Jesus' name to send the demon elsewhere and to leave the individual delivered from the malign influence or possession. I know this kind of thing is disturbing for all concerned. And indeed, just thinking about it can be disturbing. Maybe it's the sort of thing you'd bring up with questions in your home group to try and work out better what's going on. But it does seem that Jesus was ready to pray for deliverance and to identify these things as demons and to help people who were under their influence to be free from their influence. And this mother of a young girl had heard that. And she came and she bowed at his feet. In verse 26, we get another bit of context. Can you see? It says, "Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter." So she was a Gentile. What does that mean? Well, for people who are Jewish people, it signifies a non-Jew. Jews are people of the race descended from Abraham, chosen by God. The Old Testament people of God, descendants of Abraham. And so people of other racial descent are called by Jews Gentiles. And it's hardly a surprise that this person was a Gentile and came from Syria, the coastal strip where the Phoenicians had settled in Syria. Yes, she was a Syrophoenician. And she was a Gentile. She was a local. That would be normal. And now we have the context. And so if you were reading this at home, you'd be saying, has any of that got any relevance to this conversation? Now, I'd be reading it thinking, I'm sure it has, because I've got used to the Bible being like that. Usually we're given context to help us understand the message or the conversation after it. That is how the Bible works. So I'm here looking at this passage and thinking, what is it in that context that helps me understand the conversation and so helps me get the point that God wants me to get? So the conversation started in verse 27. Jesus said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Who are the children? Who are the dogs? So here's the key. Dogs were what Jews called Gentiles. You know, like the English might call the French frogs, and the Germans krauts, cabbages. I know it's not very politically correct, and we live in an era of stultifying correctness, but it was obviously, in Jesus' time, a feature of ordinary conversation. If you like, it was a bit of banter over the breakfast table, with Jesus slightly frustrated, having a short conversation, bit of banter with this woman. So now do we start to get it? He said to her, "Let the children be fed first," the Jews, "for it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs," the Gentiles. Jesus is saying something slightly sharp. Banter's often like that, isn't it? And it was Jesus pointing out that his priorities were clear priorities and he was sticking to them. "I'm focusing on the lost people of Israel," he said. "My calling, and I haven't got long to do it, is to reach the Jews. And so I'm going around all the villages and all the towns in Galilee, reaching the Jews with the message of God, the good news of God, and the Jewish people within them. And I've only come over the border for a much needed weekend off," I'm saying. Well, I think it is a radical thought for some people that Jesus had such clear priorities. Some people seem to think that Jesus just bumbled along, responding to others and their requests and doing whatever people asked him to do and seeing how it went. Sort of Monty Python, Brian sort of Jesus. But Jesus wasn't like that, was he? You see it in passages like this. Jesus was clear in his strategy, and he was a man who kept to his strategy. And he would reach the lost people of Israel. And then those who followed him, his disciples who became apostles, would be the ones who would reach out to the Gentiles. That was the strategy we see at the beginning of the book of Acts. First Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria, and only then to the ends of the earth. And actually, Jesus' 2 or 3 years ended in Jerusalem. The other bits would be for those who followed him. Jesus knew that. He was a man of strategy. And actually, we do well to follow him in being Christians who have clear plans, strategy that we follow through. It's a Christian way of doing things. And so what Jesus is saying in this bit of banter with the lady is that he's sticking to the strategy. And actually, the woman understands it. She's come to Jesus because she has a lot of admiration for what she's heard of him. But she joins in the banter. Verse 28. But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." What's she saying? She's saying, "Well, I know you're just having a weekend off and you're not really come to see people like me, but please throw us a crumb." Isn't she? You've got the power, Jesus, she's thinking. You could do it. It wouldn't take much for you. I know you can do this. Please, just a little thing for you. Throw us a crumb. That's the sort of thing she's saying. Actually, I'm not good at banter. Some of you might be better. But this is how you say things, isn't it? When maybe you're not confident enough to face things right on, but you sort of have a playful conversation and come around to the point in that way. That's what she's doing. And she can see that Jesus has got his point, but she's got her point as well, and she's going to say it in this way, in the way of the way the conversation was going, and because she is desperate, and she's not going to give up while she can keep going herself. She's got a strategy, and she's going to see it through as long as she can without being impolite. This was the reply which really impressed Jesus, wasn't it? She obviously understands what he's saying, and she acknowledges him and his strategy, and yet she still asks one more time, humbly, please help me, I know you can, and for you it wouldn't take much. And Jesus was moved. In fact, he was quite taken aback, wasn't he? And he said to her, for saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. Maybe Jesus was a bit frustrated that his weekend away had been interrupted, but in the end, he was glad to help, and he was very impressed with the woman and her approach and her faith and her acknowledgement of him, and so he did respond. So she went home, found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this little event and conversation in Jesus' life and for all that it tells us about you. And that all that it tells us about a good response to you. Please, Lord, help us to respond to you faithfully and with perseverance, doing all we can. Please, Lord, help us to be those who ask questions and seek to understand, those who receive your love and your mercy and seek to live it out ourselves. Please, Lord. Help us in our understanding of your word so that we might seek you and know you for your name's sake. Amen.